This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 118.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you
can. Hello, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture one mall visiting minute at a time. I'm Ron Richards, and I'm here with Josh Flanagan.
Going to the mall!
And Connor Kilpatrick.
You want to go to the mall?
This minute starts with Henry recapping the plan for the day.
What?
And it ends with Henry pulling into the garage of his mother-in-law's house.
Oh, Karen's mother.
So, yeah. So as noted throughout all this week, this minute starts with Henry recapping the plan for the day, which is now the plan was to get dinner started and have Michael stir the sauce. And then him and Karen are going to go try to unload the guns on his Pittsburgh connections because those guys always want guns, and then pick up the package for Lois to take to Atlanta. That is the current plan that we're existing.
And evade helicopters while
And evade helicopters, yeah. Yeah. So
it's exhausting.
Yeah, very exhausting. So, yeah, I like how Henry is still making the meatballs in the beginning of the minute and opens the door with the apron. Did you notice that? He puts his hand underneath the apron to open the doorknob because his hands are all meaty.
He would score very well on kitchen cleanliness.
Yeah, there you go.
Other than the cigarette. Yeah.
Yep. But he notices that the helicopters are gone, so he puts his shirt back on and leaves. Is Lois in charge? Is Michael in charge? Who's in charge?
Good question.
The drug mule babysitter.
Can we go ahead and give credit to the parquet door?
By the way, Lois just took his wine glass that he left.
Yes.
And immediately downed it as soon as he left the room.
Yeah.
Well, she's got to fly with a baby, so.
Not always. She didn't always fly with the baby.
Yeah.
That was only a sometime thing.
And as she drinks the wine, the camera follows Michael as he wheels over to the stove to stir the sauce, and we get a nice close-up of the sauce.
I bet that sauce smells wonderful.
Oh God, it's the big pot. It's the big pot.
I think it's very likely the same sauce that we saw in prison. I mean, because Catherine would have made it. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Kevin Corrigan real quickly. He's playing Michael. We talked about him yesterday. He is one of those fantastic that guy actors who I'm always happy to see in something.
Yes, he's always great.
He's 46 years old. He's from the Bronx, New York, and he's only done 2 Law and Orders. Law and Order and Law and Order.
Is he okay? Is he on the outs with them or something?
I don't know. He has not hit. Well, he never did Criminal Intent. It's over now, so he'll never do the trifecta. So sadly for Kevin Corrigan. But his first role, you guys will enjoy this, was in an ABC After School special in 1989 called Taking a Stand. He played Eric, and it was all about racism in a neighborhood.
Right.
Did he take the stand?
I don't know.
But, I hope so.
It's a good chance I watched it.
I'm sure.
I still love those. Kevin Corrigan's great. Great. He was a great recurring role on Fringe, on Community. You can always count on him for sardonic wit.
And we talked about on previous episodes or earlier or whatnot, he gave a great interview a while back on Mark Maron's WTF, where he talks about the experience of being on Goodfellas.
Because he's a kid here. He's like 18, and he looks so young. Like, I don't recognize him
in this.
You know, I don't see it as him. I found out later, I was like, oh, that's him there. You know, and then I kind of looked at him. And I was like, oh, I can kind of see his face, but he's such a baby in this. It's a very good. It's a very good show. If you want to,
he hasn't lost that baby fat yet.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
All I gotta say is that I'm not only jealous of him for being in the movie and that what a great experience he must have had, but I would gladly stir this sauce all day.
I bet he probably got the taste of the sauce.
That's the best part. You stir the, like, this is what you give it. You give the sauce a couple of good stirs. You want to move the meat. You don't want the meat to stick to the bottom of the pan. So you want to circulate the meat. You want to aerate it a little, and then you get a whole bunch of sauce on the spoon and into your mouth.
Bread.
No, while you're stirring. No, not while you're stirring. No,
so you get bread bits in the
fucking.
That's just how I thicken it.
What is wrong with you?
You keep revealing yourself to be a Philistine of sauce.
So, no, you keep revealing yourself to be a dirty Irish guy who lives in New England.
Never put bread in the sauce when it's in the pot.
Thank you, Connor.
That's not a rule.
Yes, it is.
It is. You save the bread for on the plate, and you use the bread to mop up the sauce off the plate. I raise you better than this, Josh.
No one's ever dipped bread in the fucking sauce.
If it's good fresh bread, it's going to crumble into the sauce.
And that's going
to
thicken.
Now, I will cop to.
Rattlestick like a pork chop in there.
I was just going to say, if there's a piece of mozzarella laying around, I might dip the cheese in the sauce.
Exactly.
A veal shank.
just a little bit. You know how when you do the cutlets and there's the little inch wide square of a piece that came off? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, totally.
Ron, taste the sauce. Oh, you got a veal cutlet in there.
That's not going to hurt that sauce.
No, it's going to make it better, actually.
That's all it's going to do. Yeah. This day is exhausting. They've been at this for hours.
No, they haven't. It's noon at this point.
I know. He's been up since 6-something.
He's been up 24 hours, probably.
Well, so they leave the house, and the plan is to go to the Pittsburgh guys to unload the guns and get the package, but they're on the road for a few minutes, and what do they see? They see the helicopter.
Helicopter reappears, and now Karen knows he's not entirely crazy.
Well, but what's interesting is that if you listen to what Karen says, Karen is very dismissive of the helicopter.
She wasn't listening to him at all.
Well, no, she was listening, and then she sees it, and she goes, okay, yeah, I see it. It's weird. It's a coincidence. It's very weird. Okay.
I love that the very real marriage moment. Go, see? Told you.
Yep.
See? But that's what I mean. Like, she just doesn't take him seriously.
I believe she says it's not anything to worry about, that it's just weird.
She's wrong.
She's very, very wrong.
I want to go ahead and give them credit for finding an alternate gun buyer. In the middle of all that.
He knew it. He had a backup plan in his head.
Either way, he had that there.
In the book, he says that he knew that if Jimmy didn't want – before even Jimmy said no, he knew if Jimmy didn't want him, he could sell him to the Pittsburgh guys. So he was ready to go.
It's still that kind of hustle that makes this guy a top quality earner.
Oh, yeah. No, that's his skill.
No, what's actually really interesting is that I thought Connor, that's a good point. And I didn't mention because I thought it was also because he's like, I knew my Pittsburgh guys always wanted guns. It's just like, oh, that's creepy. But in the book, in this chapter, he starts – off talking about how crazy things were, how his family was driving him crazy, and how he was going nuts trying to keep the whole drug business secret from Paulie. And he makes the note of saying that Jimmy was laying low after Lufthansa, right? And because of that, Henry wasn't earning like he was before. And Henry admits at this point he was getting too old to stick up trucks, right? And one of his buddies was in prison, and he was supporting his buddy's wife and kids until he got out.
And Boston wasn't going well.
And on top of that, the Boston College players screwed up on another game. So, like, at this point, Henry isn't earning as much. Like, without the drugs, Henry's got no business.
That's why he's so desperate to get all this stuff done, even when he thinks the cops are on him.
Yep. Which I thought was a very interesting point. Like, the admission that I'm too old to be sticking up trucks. Yeah. Right. So,
Cowboy anymore. Not Shane anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
Shane?
So. So they see the helicopter, and instead of going to the Pittsburgh guys, they decide to make the last minute detour to go to Karen's mother's house in Lawrence.
Because she had a covered driveway, and they could get in there and not be seen.
So they're going from Rockville Center to Lawrence, okay, which is roughly about, I'm referring to Google Maps here, it's about 20 minutes, 6 miles away. So a little detour going 6 miles west to go to Lawrence, where her mother lives. And in the book, they actually go to Henry's mother. They don't go to Karen's mother's.
What are your thoughts on Lawrence?
Well, we've talked about Lawrence a lot. It's the Five Towns. It's very nice. It's still – it's the same house across the street is all our friend Bruce's driveway still there. There's no Corvette there.
Bruce with the tiny shorts.
Yeah, Bruce with the tiny shorts. But yeah, it's the same house in Lawrence. But I thought it was interesting how there's a difference between the book and the movie, because we saw Henry's mother way, way early in the movie and we never saw her again. But we see Karen's mother more recently. I wonder why they switched it to Karen's mother's house. Yeah.
It raises the tension a little bit because there's already problems between them.
Yeah.
Also, that's tomorrow's minute.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, so helicopters. The first helicopter flight, I had to really struggle for fun facts this minute because there's a lot of just people driving around in cars.
Yep.
The first helicopter flight was in 1907. French brothers Jacques and Louis Brewy, they only got the helicopter 2 feet off the ground, and it was tethered. It was very early design. The first modern helicopter design wasn't until 1939. That wasn't the first time they actually, you know, the one you see now with the main rotor and the one in the back for stabilize it. That didn't happen until basically 1940.
Interesting.
So, it's a relatively new conveyance in terms of, you know, the grand scheme of things.
Have either of you ever been in a helicopter?
No.
I have not either.
It's amazing because they seem very routine. We've seen them in many, many films and television, and I think still to be in one is quite rare.
Right, yeah. It's not like I ever took the helicopter from Manhattan to Teterboro.
It denotes a certain era of sophistication and wealth.
Yeah.
Or like a rustic utilitarian.
Or you're in Hawaii and you're on a tour of the islands.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, I've always wanted to put the headphones with the mic.
Right, and talking to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they haven't figured out sound baffling.
Yeah.
Right.
We could soundproof this cabin, but we have these really cool headsets and mics, so.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I imagine the rotors are very, very loud.
And soundproofing would be heavy, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good point.
Someday I'd like to go on a helicopter. I think maybe in Hawaii. Maybe I'll go to Hawaii and go on a helicopter with Ray Liotta. Me and Ray Liotta are going to go on vacation to Hawaii.
Wow. You just went somewhere.
I just went somewhere. With
you did.
And quickly, too. You had it ready to go.
All set. I'm all set. All
right.
So music-wise in this one, we head back to Monkey Man after 2 straight minutes of Jump Into the Fire, which we've discussed all these, but they're just going willy-nilly between songs at this point. And Jump Into the Fire is a long song. It's one of those like 6 to 8 minute songs.
That's the DJ's got to go to the bathroom song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely. So we're back to the Stones.
Ugh.
I guess.
That's the one spot where me and Marty don't see eye to eye, is the Stones.
I think, I don't know, I like the this bit, like the nice little, I don't really like Keith Richards as a guitar player, but the stuff that's going on in this, I kind of like.
Ron, is there any music here that you don't enjoy?
The Rolling Stones.
Yes, but like when you're watching this scene, you go, ugh.
I cringe for the majority of the scene because of the music. Oh. No, we'll get to a song.
You don't find it appropriate and working for the scene?
We're going to talk tomorrow.
No, I okay. do. I do. But this is completely no. I get the logic, artistic. You know, kind of the song matching the scene and the tone, and I get that. I just have a personal preference to cringe at the Rolling Stones in any given situation.
So Marty calls you tomorrow. That. Marty calls you tomorrow and says, "Hey, you want to take a helicopter ride with me?"
Yeah,
and Mick Jagger.
A small show.
And go see the Stones.
I'll spend the entire helicopter ride telling Mick Jagger why I don't like the Stones.
No, you won't.
No, I wouldn't. I would not. I would. Hello, Mr. Jagger. I'm a huge fan.
You know in the Unforgiven, when English Bob is talking about what it's like to be in front of a king?
Yes.
I think that's kind of the closest it would like that probably describes.
No,
what it's like.
No, no. Did you ever see Frost Nixon?
Yes.
When one of the guys on the Frost side says, Sam Rockwell, he goes, I won't shake his hand. And they meet Nixon and he's there. Hello, Mr. President. And shakes his hand.
Yeah. Yep.
That's exactly what it is. I would like to note a little bit of a detail. I don't know the model car Henry is driving very fast in this scene.
How?
Is it a Lincoln?
Ron's dad, please email us.
Or is it a Cadillac?
When he pulls into the garage, you can see the.
The crown logo is around the lock on the door.
Yep.
Which I just love. I think it's a Cadillac. Actually, I'm an idiot for not realizing.
Might be a Buick. They had like a thing like that.
No, it's a Cadillac. I just looked it up. It's absolutely a Cadillac.
Oh yeah.
To have the little circle around the lock, I never noticed that before, and it's so tacky. I love it.
That's totally a Cadillac. Yeah.
Yep. Right. Totally Cadillac. He pulls into this garage very fast.
Very, very fast. He's trusting a 70s brake on what I'm guessing are questionable secondhand tires.
Well, let's.
Plus, he's already taxed the brakes pretty heavily today.
Four hours ago, he is slammed on the brakes. Do you remember when you could feel the moment the brake pads wound down and you're just on the screws?
Yeah.
He's pushing down these brake pads really.
Well, he could have glazed them earlier. He melted them past that hot point. A lot of times they'll come back.
Yeah.
Like get them too hot and then they'll be bad for a while.
I'll never forget my dad got so mad at me in my first car because I ground the brake pads down to the point where the screws on the pads scratched the rotor. And we took the tires off the car and then we took the brake pads off and the rotor just had these lines on the inner part of it and they were just ruined. And he just looked at me and he's like, you ruined the rotors. So it was bad.
But now it's normal. But now it's normal to replace the rotors at the same time as the brake pads.
Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, just yeah.
On modern cars. But it was a bigger deal back then. There's usually a wear indicator that you'll start to hear it before there's a problem.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear
you
the scraping.
Just drove right through that.
Oh yeah, I was 17 driving a Plymouth Reliant. I didn't know what I was doing. When I hit the brakes, it'd go like it would make
you
hear the
supposed to do that.
You'd hear the scraping noise. So
it's a brake sound.
It's a brake sound. It sounds like stopping.
It's like a crunching feeling under your foot. Hey, yeah.
It's slowing down. Isn't it?
It's doing its job.
Also, you know what's my favorite point is when you push down the brake pedal and then it drops even more. Right, because the pressure, the brake fluid pressure is off. Oh man, I was a big failure to my father.
Let me ask you this.
Wow, we're back to Ron's therapy session.
Did your dad change the brakes?
No, we changed it together.
Okay.
We did it together. I'll never forget sitting in the driveway on December, cold December day, changing the brakes in my car.
So. It's not a tough job.
No, but for me it was like splitting the atom. I was just like, whoa, you're taking the tire off and doing stuff underneath there? I was like, this is...
You're right. He must have been so disappointed in who you were.
I got to go back inside and work on the computer. I'll be back later.
Dad, I want to finish my video game.
Morrissey?
No, it was pre-Morrissey. This is Sonic the Hedgehog. I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog at the time.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I wasn't apologizing to you.
He's apologizing to your father.
I'm just saying, I'm a father. I get it.
Anyway, so. All right, anything else in this minute?
Do you want to apologize to your dad? Because he's probably listening.
I've apologized a lot over the years. I'm sorry.
The fuck count is zero for this minute.
Because there's not a lot of dialogue.
No.
Nope. Karen, it's very weird. All right. All right, so let's go wrap it up for minute 118. Tune in for tomorrow for minute 119, where we'll have more music talk, and we apologize for all the music talk for those of you who've complained. Deal with it. It's important. Until then, you can
go on Twitter. We stop mentioning them.
You can go on Twitter at GoodfellasMin and talk about how much you like the music, and you can follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at GoodfellasMinute. And you can find all of our episodes at GoodfellasMinute.com. You can go to GoodfellasMinute.com/support, where you can support the show by clicking on the link to shop on Amazon, where you can buy brake pads if you need to. Or you can go to Patreon.com/GFM, where you can become a patron of the show and support the show. And then if you sign up at a certain level, you get a cool stickers and pin pack. And even higher level, you get we open up the books and give you your own mafia name. We're going to do that this Friday for two more guys. They're going to join the crew. And if you have any questions or any advice on changing brakes, you can email us at contact@goodfellasminute.com. So until next week, I'm going to go ruin another car.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up.